Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
I'm still here.
Hey, Rick. Welcome to the show. Who's a prayer for you, man? Who's a prayer? Oh, my gosh. Well, since I did not put up an intro song for tonight, it's just you and me from the get-go.
Well, why not?
I only had like a week and a half to think about it. Why would I have put up an intro song? Oh, my God. Sometimes I really wonder. Sometimes I really do. But we got 500 audios for tonight, I can tell you that. Anyway, happy Friday, man. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. So how was your day? How was your week?
It's wet right now and chilly.
Yeah. Thank God it was dry here today. And it wasn't really cold, but it was, it wasn't warm either, so. But I feel like we're progressing in the right direction here. What are you going to do?
Springtime.
That's right. And April showers bring May flowers around here. I don't know about you, but here we have to wait.
Oh, you got to go back a little further than that. You got to go to Wander Brill with the Shura Sotra. The Draught of Maris has passed into the Rosa. And Bada Zebedin and Slish Liqueur, of its virtue engendered, is the fleur.
Okie dokie. There you go. This is a good one, Rex. A good one. We're heading towards the 17th. I like it. I do. Yeah, but I share a little story with you. And I'm not trying to be like, kind of crazy. My husband and his family 100% Polish. Okay, 100%. Parents were from Poland, the whole nine yards. And every St. Patrick's Day, right, I would celebrate. And I was like all about the wearing of the green and everything else. And he just used to look at me and shake his head like, whatever. Well, when we had kids, I used to deck them out in green. He goes, they're not Irish. I said, 364 days a year, they are Polish. But on St. Patrick's Day, they are Irish, right? And we did. We had some really good arguments about this. Really good ones. I'm not going to lie. Something so silly, but we did. And anyway, for years we went through that. Well, God bless his heart. When he died, he passed away on 3/11, okay, which ironically is today. And it was about 21 years ago. So, actually, it was 23 years ago. Wow. Time is getting away from me. But when I went to get his clothes for the funeral, God, I'm sorry. It probably sounds like a morbid story or something. I had two choices. He had a black, spring tweed jacket, right? And I had a hunter green jacket. And I'm going, okay. And ironically, as I said, he died on 3/11. But it was Lent, okay? Anybody who's Catholic understands what Lent is. And the church could not accommodate us for a funeral for, the better part of this week. So thinking anything about it, and they said, well, we can bury him on 3/17, and I went, okay, not even thinking, because I'll tell you, I was not in a state of mind to think about it, and I went, okay, so then I'm looking at these two jackets, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, I'm going to bury him on St. Patrick's Day, and I kept looking at these two jackets. I said, if I put that green jacket on him, I will never have a day of peace in my life. So I put him in the black jacket, right? I put him in the black jacket and his gray shirt. He's looking sharp, man. So today, I'm going through the day and I'm kind of just kicking things around and doing what I needed to do. And, it gets a little funky here and there. My daughter is talking to me. She told me she's going to get her nails done today after work. And I went, okay. And she messages me after she's done at the nail salon, and I wasn't really tuned in, but she had done her nails in shades of green with shamrocks on them. Okay? And I'm going, oh, they're cute, you know. I get a phone call from my sister at 9 o'clock, and she's usually in bed at like 8 o'clock because that's my sister. And she says to me, oh, my God. I said, what? She goes, did you see Katie's nails? And I went, yeah. I said, they were cute. She goes, oh, my God. She had them done today of all days? She said, I put a message on her Facebook. I says, oh, my God, you got those nails today of all days? All of a sudden, everything clicked in my brain, and I went, oh, my God. So I went over to her page and I said, oh, my God, you're going to be in trouble. I didn't even instigate this one. Yeah, so that was the craziness of my day. You know, it wasn't anything horrendous, but it was just one of those shake your head moments, you know. Some years I just try and get through it, you know, push through it, do the next day, you know. Life is good. But, oh, my God, my sister. She was so funny. She goes, oh, my God, did you see her nails? Yeah, I thought they were cute. She had those done today? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, yes, you would have to really know my sister to get it. But she's a little crazy. I tell her that all the time. But, yeah, so that was it. Anyway, that was a crazy story to share with you and everybody else. But it was just one of those things. What else can you do, man? What else can you do? Hey, it's a very quiet room. I don't know what you all have celebrated.
We got Argo in there.
I don't see her. What the heck? Maybe I have to refresh.
Refresh.
There she is. Hello, I'm waving. I'm waving. Yeah. Very good. It's a good thing I refreshed. Oh, my goodness. What a crazy night. But, yeah, so it's all right, though. Yeah, nice little board. You know, I think we have, like, 21 pieces on it. And I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I don't have 12 or 13 audios.
Damn.
I know. That's what I'm saying, you know.
We're going to be easy on the voices tonight.
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly. Well, I'm hoping that Naomi will call in. And I see that C. Francis Higgins put one up, so maybe he'll call in. And Patterson's Promise put one up, maybe she'll call in. And let me see who else is on here. I don't know. Hey, part three of We Are All Gonzo's up tonight, just so you know.
All right.
Kick out a lamp. So that third one's up. Yep. And, so I think we're doing pretty good. So I'll tell you what. We're going to start out a little
when
different.
When he's done the whole story, we have to tell him to now put them all together on one page so you can do a whole read at once on them.
Honestly,
not for the show,
really
but
cool.
As an individual.
Yeah, but it would be cool to be able to listen to them all at once. Because a week in between, you know, gives you time to, like, forget or
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Some little things get lost. But definitely, you know, it's a great idea to put them together. See that? But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to start at the top here. I'm going to do Katie the Naughty Poet's piece called Spiral. And then I'm going to have you do Jack Tomkovic. And maybe I can read Pam's piece since she doesn't manage to call in. Oh, we got
refresh.
Two callers. Oh, my God. Guess who one of them is. Guess who it is. It's Pam. Hi, Pam. I was just talking bad about you.
I heard. Oh, my
See?
Goodness.
See? I figured
hey, Phil.
Talk
hey,
about.
Rex. Good to hear you both.
Hello.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you here, honey. And let's see who else we have. I have area code 667. Hello, area code 667. Who's calling, please?
This is Martha.
I thought it was you.
Hey, Martha.
Hi.
These numbers, boy, sometimes they work in my head and sometimes they don't. Well, it's good to have you both here with us. You know, I hope
it was a 666, I bet it would stick.
Yes, and you know what? My grandson's mother, her phone number is 666. I never, I was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But, yes, so I'll tell you what, I'm going to put up Katie's, and then I'm going to try and work us down the list. And, yeah, we got lots to bounce around and do, so here we go. So, Spiral by Katie, the Naughty Poet.
Spiral by Katie, the Naughty Poet. Alone in a spiral, wither in shadows, displaying want, longing for something more than silhouettes, nailed to life in smoke, ash relighting the candle at both ends, living darkness, forever grounded, never laying eyes on the light of day. Seeking light in blinded sight, feel your way up my essence, bring me to heaven in one move, sparkling sun and moon, floating through the stars above, earth radiating passion through rainbow's neon colours. Blue oceans thick with desire, laced in grasses greener than the forest, viewed from way up high, spiralling round the sun's burning gaze, fires red infused with orange, purple as bruises on succulent skin, seduction in spirited words, dark moon's alignment set flags free to fly, dance between the shadows of life, within the lightest of days, drown in the darkest of nights, sun and stars glitter forever by my side. End poem.
Great read, Katie, and thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is really appreciated. And Pam, why don't we kick it with you?
Well, this is really beautiful. I'm so used to Katie's Wednesday night poetry that this is just intriguing. I mean, it's got a bit of a sensuality to it, but it's more of a, like, especially in that third stanza. But I like how it's about the whole idea to me of being hypnotized and just caught up in the slow movement of the wax going around the candle and the flickering of the candle flame. I particularly like seeking light in blinded sight, feel your way upon my essence, bring me to heaven in one move, sparkling sun and moon. The end stands a dark moon's alignment and flags free to fly, dance between the shadows of life with the lightest of days. There's something profoundly mythical about this, right, that I feel like connects the spirit to a higher realm of consciousness. So beautifully written and very well done.
Well, thank you very much, Pam. And Martha, how about you?
Oh, I really like this. I was riveted by it. I thought the metaphors and the truth, it was wonderful, and I really liked the ending. It was great.
Thank you, Martha. All right, Jean, what did you think? But you got to unmute first.
Always a show-off. Always a show-off. Always, always. Oh my God! Wow, I thought this was really a nicely penned piece. I thought it was wonderful imagery throughout, and it very well composed. I mean, I just thought it was really nicely done. You know, spiritual hope, love, and pain. You know, I think that all three were well hit upon, and yeah, it was great audio on top of it all. So nice work, Katie, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you very much, Jean. I get a kind of metaphysical, out-of-body experience thought to it, just kind of stepping outside of one's own flavor and then just expanding across that which is, that which you see, that which you feel. And kind of hits on that note with the last stanza. Dance between the shadows of life, within the lightest of days, drowning in the darkest of nights. Sun and stars glitter forever by my side. That note of being heaven sent, so to speak. Nicely done, Katie. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Jokey. Rex, I'm going to have you read the next one, and this is by Dan DeShino. Whenever you're ready.
All righty. Priceless Treasure by Dan DeShino. A wheat penny, 1930, rests in my hand. After 92 years, it found rest. Born from depression in a time when it was a working man's dream, he stood in line in fancy clothes with the hope of bread or laborious tasks. And I have picked it up and hold it. I picked it up and hold it in my hand. It laid on cold cement in the freeze of winter, walked over by dogs, piled down by hammering rain and worthless time to those who can reach the ground. It rests in my hand, a silent documentarian, the caresser of a thousand anonymous hands, and in mine finds peace. For I am one that understands, as I bring it home to rest. And I put it in a jar in my closet, and it sleeps. I sit by my window, glass of wine on the table, book in hand. Sometimes I look outside and dream. Sometimes I remember. End poem. All right, Martha, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
Oh, I really loved it. I mean, what he did with a penny like that, it was really wonderful. I thought it was a great story, and it just drew you along with it till the end. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Martha. Bam?
I really enjoyed this. I like how it's got that wonderful, straightforward, simple use of language, but delves really well into history. Like, to me, it's those little things that often mean the most, and you can show how much Daniel appreciates history, appreciates a treasure when he finds it. This reminds me of back when I was a teenager, and I found a coffee can, 35, which was probably absolutely worth nothing at all, but it was still really cool to find because you think at some point somebody, some family, some farmer or whatever from 1935 using coffee from that can. And the same thing with this wheat penny. You know, you find something like this that other people have trampled over, other people have looked past or not bothered to take time to look to the ground and passed it by. And here he has found a piece of history, and he recognizes it for what it is and for the value it has. So a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I knew you were coming to me next, and I'm not on mute. I was on the money there. You know, I thought there was a lot of fabulous imagery here. I thought that he told the tale very well, and his thoughts throughout were so well expressed, you know, following this penny along its path. And, yeah, I think Dan, it was very nicely done. So high five, Dan, and thanks for sharing with us. I love having these great imagery poems that come in. Nice work.
Thank you, Jean. I got two thoughts, and they're both cliches. See a penny, pick it up all the day long, you'll have good luck. But there's a more of an important one that goes beyond that. You watch the pennies, and all else will take care of itself. And that's what you kind of get here, especially because he starts off that first stanza, wheat penny, 1930, and then the second one, born from depression. Well, you had to watch your pennies. Yeah, things mattered because you watched your pennies. And it kind of that illusion now at the back end, I sit by my window, glass of wine on the table, book in hand. Sometimes I look outside and dream. Sometimes I remember. Kind of pushes back the envelope to days when things weren't so good and remembering. You pick that penny up, you watch the pennies. Everything else will fall in line.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done, Dan. Thank you. All right, we're coming back to you.
Okie doke. Well, let me see. Okay, I'm going to put up this next audio. And this one is by, Sugar Honey Iced Tea. It ran away. The room just ran away. This one is by Weaver of Dreams. And it's called Space. And here we go.
The quiet air around us should define the space that enables those who write for pleasure or for gain to reconcile each action out with their ethos, permitting a breath caught in wonder to remain. Our fingers dancing can bring to life fragile thoughts. Pause again while they rise, soft grey smoke, then fade. We feel frustration when we cannot keep these forms captured inside the many buried worlds we've made. Though by the act of grasping tightly, holding on, we nullify the contemplative space we need, the smoke descends thick and smothering, thereby allowing negativity to breed. That space within is ours to mould and meld. In turn, we shape and solidify the space without. Our thoughts can lap the shore, then dissipate, allowing positivity to flow throughout.
Wonderful read, Weaver. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Jean, we're going to start with you.
I knew it. You know, I thought this was really well done. By Weaver of Dreams. I love the imagery throughout, and I love following her thoughts through here. You know, the space within, it's a great last stanza. The space within is ours to mold and meld. Wow. In turn, we shape and solidify the space without. Our thoughts can lap the shore, then dissipate, allowing positivity to flow throughout. It was just really nicely done. It was, good rhyme, good meter. Just a really nice piece and very enjoyable. So great job, Katie. It is Katie, but great job, Weaver.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you?
Well, yeah, I really liked this. And the thing is, because you always see the title of a poem before you have reading it, and I saw the title Space, and immediately I was going out into outer space. So I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, because I think Weaver would have done a great job in an outer space poem, but to see that she took what my expectations were or what my presumptions were and turned them on their head, to see that this isn't about outer space, but rather the space around us that other people cohabitate with us and the way they influence us. But most importantly, as comes up, especially in that last stanza, it's about that space within us, which is the only space we truly need to worry about shaping and forming so that it can become something positive for ourselves and for others. So I think this is a really cool write and very well done.
Nice to see. Absolutely. Thank you very much, Ben. And Martha, how about you?
Well, to me, it was a wonderful representation of, like, the world that we create when we write something. We write poems or songs or stories in our heads, and we're creating our own world inside of us that we draw on for inspiration and ideas to continue to do what we love to do, which is write. I thought it was a wonderful poem, very well done.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is that opening stanza, the second or fourth line, hit the note of that enables those who write for pleasure or for gain, permitting a breath, thought, and wonder to remain. I think that's important, the idea of not taking oneself so seriously that you forget why you do it in the first place. The second and third stanza hits on those notations where even with all the action and reaction of thought, things don't always work. And then you kind of sit there and you start criticizing and questioning self. And that fourth stanza, it's on the note of, hey, it might be a temporary lull, but in the end, the light gets shone on that which you were doing to begin with. And once again, letting the muse continue its positive flow. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okay, well, Pam, I'm heading your way, if you do not mind.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
I just put one up on Nam Da Somo. Thanks.
All right. The Universe is Expanding by Nam Da Somo, and it goes like this. The universe is expanding. The shadows fades. You once promised me infinity. The universe is expanding. A minute, a moment. I am but a sordid tear. The universe is expanding. Forgiveness, a flash, a moment. To forever diverge, a child put to rest inside my soul. The universe is expanding for us, for as the hour draws near, we shall depart to forever shatter. There is only an illusion of self. In the end, the shadow fades to the bleak-hearted. The universe is expanding. For once promised me in eternity, for when the time comes, darkness descends. Not but a stolen kiss. The universe is expanding. Tortured, torn, the universe is expanding. The universe is expanding. Please save her. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Martha, why don't you start us off?
Oh, to me, I got the impression of someone that has lived in a false, kind of a false reality that they believed was true. But then as the truth invades the falseness that they've been living in, their universe has to expand to include the truth, whether they want it to or not. I thought it was really well done.
Well said, Martha. Thank you. Jean, how about you?
You know, I really like this piece, but I had an image. I don't know if it's really an image, but in my head is the same universe is expanding, and it's giving you all these different scenarios after those words. You know, for as the hour draws near, we shall depart to forever shatter. I just see a thinning of, I don't want to say a veil. Something, oh gosh, what would I say? Almost like a hard candy film. And as you stretch it, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner. And all of a sudden it just cracks and breaks. And you know, maybe that's a crazy kind of thing for me to associate that with. But that's what each one of those universes expanding was giving me this stretched material. And then when it got down there to forever shatter, I just saw this like hard candy crack and crumble, the right word. But I think this is really well written. You know, it's a great visual all the way through. And it's to the point. You know, makes everyone stop and think. So, excellent job, Pam. Thanks for sharing with us. Nice read, Pam, by the way.
Well, you know, it really helps that she put instructions right there. But
when you whispered at the end, it actually, like, you know, a strange kind of, I don't know. It was like kind of creepy, but it was well done. It was great. And I think it was supposed to give you that kind of a feeling. So nice job.
Well said. All right, Pam, since you read it, how about you?
Oh, I really like this. I like the repetitive line, the universe is expanding. And I really like what you said, I had to say, Jean, about the, having that feeling of when the you stretch the candy far and then it snaps, it breaks. I felt personally that this kind of had that idea of a personal and spiritual growth through difficult times. Like the universe, I think, is not necessarily the universe outside of oneself, but the universe inside of oneself. And I really like where it starts, it talks about forgiveness, forgiveness, a flash, a moment, to forever diverge, a child put to rest inside my soul. Many times, for ourselves, we forgive another person, not for their sake. I also liked the line about a stolen kiss, and there is only an illusion of self. Only an illusion of self is a powerful line in that we really sometimes often feel we know who we are and our place in the world only to find out otherwise. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. There's a lot going on here. Those first two end lines, you once promised me infinity, I am but a sordid tear. And then that third stanza, forgiveness, a flash, a moment to forever diverge, a child put to rest inside my soul. And there's a loss in that moment, and the infinity dies along with it, which is a nice touch. And the hour draws near, we shall part to forever shatter. There's that notion of losing that that inner sense of child forever, whether it's, you could run along a number of ideas and thoughts as to what's going on, and they'd all be right to some extent. So the universe expanding is that feeling of helplessness, being small in the moment, and the world being shattered itself as a thought has worked. The last line, please save, it comes in. It's almost that little child within offering up a plaintive plea. Please save her. She needs the help. Nicely done, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Did we hear her, Martha? I just have to ask. Pardon,
yes.
I didn't hear her voice. Okay. My ears aren't that great sometimes. And just so everybody knows, Frank said that was a great poem. Woo, just saying. Okay, now I have another audio by Diane D. And we're going to bounce around. Gotta keep them moving. And I'm going to play this right now.
A Medley of Lakes by Diane D. Where do sandstone mountain caps blanket the craggy rocks amid wisps of snow dunes? And admiral blue crystalline waters project an optical illusion as the surface reflects surrounding landscapes. Not one lake discovered by man will stand without its cabin, exclusive in design and purpose, each offering a unique nightfire story. Not for its structural symphony, but its home-like solace that we learn to lean into. While a zinc-silver moon hangs in the sky and glows beneath the waters, as beams of light like melted metal turn the lake aglow, much like lucid flames trapped within a vibrant palette, emitting bristles on lucent brushes that paint on a deep blue canvas. There runs that line of elucidation where placid pure waters meet the white sands of stability and footsteps appear among the tiny grains that separate the worn, creamy, sun-baked 6-mile beach from its surrounding unspoiled vista. end poem.
Great read, Diane. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. All right, Pam, why don't we start with you this time?
Oh, I just absolutely adore this. I mean, it, first of all, it has amazing imagery and flow to it. Like, even though it doesn't rhyme, there's something in the meter of it that really adds to a lyrical type or rhyme type element to the poem. I love how, I mean, I have to say that if this is what, describing where Diane lives, I want to go visit Diane. There's something so beautiful about nature poems, but particularly nature poems that describe water. I always think, you know, because I love to watch the movement of water, you know, there's something about it that it is to me just the most beautiful, the most spiritual element that I really feel a connection to. So I am just completely in awe of this. I especially like, not one lake discovered by man will stand without its cabins, because that, of course, reminds us of how we take a beautiful thing and destroy it. But I also like the imagery of, while a zinc silver moon hangs in the sky and glows beneath the waters. You know, wonderful imagery there, and very well done.
Well, thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I was going to say that, the poem was a great reflection of the chosen prompts. Because I could be wrong, but I think the four images at the top are prompts from a contest, or probably from a contest by Scion. No, it had to be the one by Kevin. It had to be by Kevin. And I think that she really described it beautifully. Each one of the images, each portion, each piece. And I thought that, yeah, it was just a really well done take on them, for real. So I enjoyed it very much, Diane, and thank you so much for the SoundCloud and for sharing the write with us all. Just a well-penned piece. Mm-hmm.
And Martha, how about you?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful, the imagery and the pictures, and it just drew you in, and you almost felt like you'd been there by the time it was over. It was just a wonderful experience.
Absolutely. The metaphors and the color in this was gorgeous, and I think it hits on that notion of enjoying that which is the beauty that surrounds you, but make yourself as small as possible in its notation of thought to contain that beauty itself, which I thought was nicely done. Thank you very much, Diane. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okay. Well, let's see. It's Martha's turn to read one. I keep myself straight here. Oh, God. Okay, Martha, I'm going to put the next one up for you. This is by Passion's Promise.
Okay, just a second. Let me find it here. Okay. Kaleidoscope of Emotions by Passion's Promise. A skittle-colored sunrise, explosion of beauty before my eyes, clouds dancing freely as signatures of ink dries before me. Kaleidoscope of emotions, swirl aging, sending a dreamer's mind raging. No sleep for days leaves a mind unpainted. Brush of an artist is now left tainted. All beauty is ripped from disguise. When ink spilled, the muse no longer gets a rise. Mind tries, eyes hypnotize, no longer fantasize. A dream of a dreamer dies. Veils come down and covered the sun. Stars came out to have some fun, counting them one by one till I fall, and finally sleep comes to call. Yes, the brush is painting again, painting dreams I held within. A rose within a gentleman's hand, a boat at dock on dry land, a field of lilies with butterfly wings, and a passionate woman erotically sings, oh, the pleasure that sleep does bring. End poem.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're going to start with you.
Oh, I thought this was a lovely piece. I like the imagery throughout. You know, here, a rose within a gentleman's hand, a boat at dock on dry land, a field of lilies with butterfly wings, and a passionate woman erotically sings, oh, the pleasure this sleep does bring. What a wonderful, it's a wonderful rhyme and a wonderful meter, and it definitely is, it's a great dream piece, if that makes any sense, because, you know, when people write about a dream, it always has something a little bit, I don't know, floaty about it. Is that a good way to put it? I like that feel, you know, it's not set in stone or concrete. It's a little softer than that. And I enjoyed that in this piece very much. So great job, Passion Promise. Great work.
Well, absolutely. Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really think this is beautiful, and I have to agree with Jean that it has a soft quality to it and wonderful rhyme and meter. I really like the title, Kaleidoscope of Emotions, as she takes us through the ups and downs of a day. And what I really like about this is it's not only about the dreaming, but to me it's also about how sometimes no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter how much inspiration is we are bombarded with throughout the day, sometimes we can't find that muse until after we get a good night's rest and delve into that land of dreams and then awaken refreshed to, find, not only to find our muse working. And I like how there was a gentle romantic tone to this, especially in that end stanza. Very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, you read that. What did you think?
I thought it was a wonderful representation of how you feel when you're trying to write and you feel like you've had a block, you reach a line and your mind just goes blank and you can't think of anything to put there. And then after you go to sleep and you get some rest and you wake up in the morning and you look at it and suddenly the words just start flowing again.
Well said, Mark. I was walking along those very same lines. Those first 2, 4, 6 lines hit on that note of being in the zone. And then the no sleep for days, all beauty is ripped from disguise. I hypnotize, no longer fantasize. A dream of a dreamer dies. All of a sudden, you hit that brick wall, so to speak. You almost burnt the candle hard down to the ground. And then comes the back end where all of a sudden the mind can relax enough to let you sleep and everything walks itself along those paths where the mind shifts everything in perspective one way or another. And a day or two later, things pick up back on the brighter side of things. So, yes, I do think it was about the muse itself. But thank you, Martha. All right, Jean, we'll come back your way.
Okay, well, I'm going to bounce this one back to you, Rex. So whenever you're ready.
All right. Not Quite Normal by Jack Tomkovic. I'm a square peg, round hole guy. And all that, but also like a stranger, spoke the language, but with an accent. Folks said, you're not from around here. Just born here, laughed when friends told their jokes. Outside, looking in, not the cool guy, just did my thing, now it's 70. I'm solid with the me and work I've finished or not. Didn't kill, didn't steal, married a real woman, my whole life. I can live with that. And Paul. And Pam, why don't we start with you?
Well, that's definitely a smile-inducing rite with a good bit of humor, you know, and, you know, very, very, I remember when I moved from Wisconsin to Texas, people could tell from my accent that I wasn't from around there, and so I liked that. I also like how the end says, I'm solid with the me and work I finished or not. Didn't kill, didn't steal, married a real woman my whole life. I can live with that. Just a really great look at sometimes what it means to be rebellious is to just be yourself and to live by your own standards. So excellent write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you. Jean, how about you? Unmute.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was doing. Exactly. I thought this was a nicely penned piece by Jack. I thought it was well expressed, and I thought it was, you know, enjoyable. I'm a square peg and a round hole guy. A square peg, round hole guy. And all that, but also like a stranger spoke the language, but with an accent. Folks said, you're not from around here. Just born here, laughed when friends told their jokes. I don't know. It's a typical Jack Wright. Jack has a certain way of expressing himself, and I think he always holds true to himself, and I like that about him. You know, not everybody can kind of really be themselves in their rights, and I think that that's really what we see when we read his work. So I think that's pretty cool. You know, and I did like the didn't kill, didn't steal, married a real woman my whole life. I can live with that. You know, you can't beat that. Pat on the back kind of thing. So, or, you know, one of those is when you walk up to somebody, you pat them on the shoulder, you know, and your hand grips their shoulder, like, yeah, good job. That's kind of what it makes you feel at the end. So, nice work, Jack. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Jean. And Martha, how about you?
I really like this. To me, it was like somebody that's never quite fit in. They've always felt like they were on the outside looking in. They never really jived with anybody. But then at the end of their lives, they realized, hey, I did all right. I wasn't quite the outsider I thought I was. I built a good life. Thought it was really well done.
Absolutely. There's that nice note of unpretentiousness. Just being almost part of the landscape, so to speak, but a little bit more than just that without actually offering oneself up as the end-all and be-all, so to speak, like most people try to do. Coming back your way, Jean.
Okay, well, I think I'm overdue, so I better read something before somebody throws something at me.
Three lines?
You know. No, it's better than that this time. You should go in fresh. That was last week. Okay, this is by Poetic Creations. It's called A Thousand Hugs and Kisses. I swooned over your southern accent as you tended to my festering wounds, emblazoning impressions in cuneiform over black walls that were closing in. Now the halls echo with much laughter and gleam in tones of golden trust that were forged on the field of battle. Foe became ally, and ally became friend. This is where my love for you first began, for I saw one who stood tall on principles, who celebrates who she is with a smile, one who would risk it all to save another. You became my inspiration and my hero, valued far beyond the beauty of your flesh, as you define what it means to be human with honesty, compassion, and forgiveness. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Martha, why don't you kick us off? What'd you think?
Well, I thought it reminded me a lot of the books I used to read when I was younger, about a teenager or older, and the war was going on, and these two from an opposite side would meet, and instead of fighting, they took care of each other and actually learned that there was no reason to fight at all. Thought it was really well done.
Thank you, Martha. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a beautiful and thoughtful rite. The rhyme within it is, well, it doesn't rhyme actually. No, it doesn't. It just has really good meter to it. So really good meter, wonderful, heartfelt imagery. I particularly like Now the Halls Echo with Much Laughter and Gleam in Tones of Golden Trust that were forged by the field of battle. Foe became ally and ally became friend. I like how there's that sense of connection that happens when two people learn to trust and laugh with each other. So excellent rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
You know, I thought this was a lovely tribute to a friend. I don't want to say a lover, but a friend and a companion. You know, how do I want to say it? Reaching out with a hand, you know, as a thank you, the hand upon a cheek almost to say thank you for all you've done for me. That's kind of where the visuals went for me. And I thought that it was just nicely done. It was nicely, it was nicely penned, but it was great imagery. That's what I wanted to say. Good Lord have mercy. That's that word. So, just really, really nice. Great job, PC.
Well, absolutely. It does show a nice thought to deep abiding love. That first stanza, you kind of hit that note of almost, especially with the second one rolled into it, there's a couple of things. The Civil War, you're walking into the Now the Halls Echo with Much Laughter and Gleaming Tones of Golden Trust. They were forced on the field of battle. Foe became ally, and I became fiend. There's almost that note to the Halls of Valhalla, so to speak. And the last two, I walk in that note of understanding and not taking to heart too much of that which has occurred, because things don't abide themselves if one doesn't actually take the time to walk past that which has gone into and walk into something new, which was a nice touch. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Let me see now. I know where I'm going. Believe it or not. Okay. I have one here by Mr. M., and it's called The Cycle of Ruin. Let me hit the button.
This is my recital of Cycle of Ruin. Once again, I find myself staring over the edge of reason, setting myself up for another great disaster, a mental and spiritual cataclysm that may leave my body in further ruin. Some say to try and embrace the change, that it could do me some good. Those who say this do not really know me, since those who know me hope in silence. When I do build aspirations, using the ashes of past failures as mortar between brick upon brick of denial, I build them as my own personal towers of Babel, one eye wincing in anticipation of the great fall. My creativity often fuels tales of grandeur and fantasy and things greater than I can achieve, greater than I am even worthy of. Many would inject their personal views in an effort to feel a level of altruism, helping the poor, wounded lamb out from the raging storm so that they can sleep better at night because they got to brandish their prosthetic kindness. Little did they know that I am the rain and the lamb. I foster my own morbid destruction, and their condescension is but a straw upon the camel's corpse. The reason that I shun the light, the reason that I tether myself to the ground when all others wish to fly, is because I know what happens when the weight of your dreams is more than your soul can sustain. I know what it is like to come crashing down from the heavens in a ball of fire and having everything flung into chaos. This is true pain, and I can't handle any more. I had felt too deeply. I was a catalyst of extremity. So, to continue hoping would have been my undoing. Now that I barely feel anything, I don't have the will to bother wishing for change. As I watch the towers build themselves, I cannot help but to brace myself for when it all comes crashing down once more.
Great read, Mr. M. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Gene, you get to kick us off.
Wow. Where am I kicking you off of? Just say it.
The comments are...
Oh, wise guy. I think that this was an incredible piece. It was well written and a painful picture painted throughout. It was just a vision of a life without hope. I mean, and that's a horrible thing for me to come to terms with, because I always try and hold on to hope. And when I read this, it just unravels. It's like snowballing down the hill, you know what I mean? And it just seems more and more and more. So it's pretty just full of sorrow, and it's very painful. But a very well-written piece and very well expressed. So great job, Mr. M. And thanks for sharing with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gene. And Martha, how about you?
This poem touched me deeply because it's just a perfect example of how I felt when I reached what I thought was the end and the bottom of everything I had held dear. And then all of a sudden, life started knocking at the door, and I didn't want to let it in because I was so afraid to fall for anything, to care about anything, because I had lost everything that I cared about, I felt like. And it's just a beautiful representation of losing everything and coming to the realization that it all has to build again, and you have to take that chance. And you watch it, just like he says at the end, you watch it build, and you wonder when it's going to fall and how bad it's going to hurt when it does. Mm-hmm. It was just so beautiful.
Great comment, Martha. Thank you. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really liked listening to Martha comment, because to me it's a beautiful thing when you can tell someone's poem has moved someone by the emotion in their voice. I think this has to be probably one of my all-time favorite Mr. M pieces. It's dark, but it's also philosophical. It takes a look at people who are hypocrites, who, you know, follow religion and help people for the sake of making themselves look good. I really like how there's that reference to building the personal Tower of Babel, one eye watching in anticipation of the great fall, just knowing that just around the corner, that next brand of bad luck. You know, really, honestly, some really great references in here. Like, I like the reference to the straw on the camel's corpse, and the whole idea that somebody would think that a straw would cover up what is so plainly seen, the corpse of the camel to me represents, you know, the death of goodness, the death of people who help because it is the right thing to do and not because it benefits them in any ways. I also really like, I felt too deeply I was a catalyst of extremity, so to continue hoping would have been my undoing. Wonderful dark right and very well done.
Great comments, everybody. I do understand this is about a singularity in the thought of the consequences of detachment emotionally. But I think I'll go with something a bit simpler. Is this how Lucifer felt when he got tossed?
I don't know. It does
kind of
that's
walk
a good question.
Lines, especially with the thought to the towers of Babel, and it says, I know and I am capitalized. Just hits me with that thought of someone who thinks that they were important at one point and they lost all of that because of their own passion on a singular level.
So a lot of ways to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, I have one from Miss Pam to read. You ready, Pam?
Yes, ma'am. All right. This is Gleaning from the Author's Ink. And it goes like this. I've gleaned the story page by page, caressed the author's ink. I watched circumstance unfolding, emotions on the brink. I was the eyes within the walls, collecting life and death, observing infants and matrons, grasp first and final breaths. In times of war and times of peace, I saw visions of seers, warriors learned humility, the conquering of fears. Gentle flowers trying to bloom beneath the wrath of gods, within the barren, dusty soil, reducing jagged odds. I wish there never was an end, sable spills of story. I was praying for one more sip of love, loss, and glory. All plots must end, of this I know. Last lines must find their place. Those bittersweet and final words hold tears within the grace. And
poem. Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Martha, why don't we start with you?
Well, I thought it was a representation of reading and taking in the different things in books and poems and how it affects us and how we benefit from it and how it also brings a lot of sadness sometimes when we read of others' ills and pains and what they go through. I thought it was a wonderful, beautiful representation of just reading.
Thank
nicely
you.
Said, Martha. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
Well, yeah. You know, this is an excellent light all the way through. But something in here triggered a memory in my head. It's not what was said in your poem, but it took me to something I've heard before. And it was more about the thought behind it than the actual words. And it's kind of haunting me a little bit because, you know, I mean, I can't put my finger on it. But there's so many great lines in here, but this, I was the eyes within the walls, collecting life and death, observing infants and matrons, grasp first and final breaths. In times of war and times of peace, I saw visions of seers. Warriors learned humility, the conquering of fears. Just it's pretty amazing with the starts and finishes, you know, the thought, you know, times of war, times of peace. I saw visions of seers. Warriors learned humility, the conquering of fears. It's you're showing both sides of the coin in some ways throughout this, and And I like how you did it. And it's very well expressed. Just a really clever and well done piece. So nice work. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jean. All right. You hit on In Times of War and Peace, so it kind of hits on that notion of, for me, War and Peace, the novel itself, and actually delving deep within the voice that's offered and actually living within the words offered from page to page and the time that is shared, as well as the bad ends and the glory that comes with it. But also there's that note to understanding that the story does need its final conclusion, but the sadness still is drawn from the fact that that story must end in the moment because of the appreciation for it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rex.
You're welcome. All right, Jean. It's up to
Boy,
you
I sure wish I could put my. I wish I could put my finger on that thought, though, Pam, that I was trying to get to.
You know what you'll do is you'll put your finger on that thought at 4 in the morning and call me. So.
Well, maybe. That's very possible. Yeah, it's really, it's haunting. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I totally get that.
My God. Yes. I will get there, I promise. I will. Okay. For my next magic trick, we're going to put one up by We Are All Gonzo, Part 3.
Yes.
And we liked 1 and 2,
yes.
So 3 can't be bad, right? It's got to be good. Here we go.
All right, 1, 2, 3 times the story.
Yep, you got it. Okay, let me find it. Here we go. Oh, wait, where the heck is it? Oh, no. Oh, good. I put it under G. Here we go.
I wouldn't want to be eating for supper. I bet it hurts.
I bet I'm a giant and I would eat you. Stop it.
Stop fighting. Stop fighting.
Fine. Well, you're a giant butthead.
And you're an ugly fart.
You won't get to hear the rest of the story. I won't say it again.
I don't like this story. You said it was happy.
Well, the happy part hasn't happened yet.
See? Told you he lived.
Who would a giant eat, Papa?
Who indeed? You know you'll never escape here.
Stealing things.
No, I hate Christmas.
You have been very naughty.
I wish my mom was here.
I wish anyone was here.
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children?
Little boy, wake up.
Oh, how I wonder what you taste like. This is the tale of the Yule of the Giant, and the only boy who ever escaped Demune Borgia. Second passed like it somehow amassed some sort of bond to the moment before. No longer could they endure. Escape was at hand, or else their fates unsure. Lacking preparation for a physical confrontation, minus the precious blade once laid in his hands by the one who made him, the grown man, John the Giant. Damnation would dissuade. He would survive the day. Determined Stoutheart made a crack in the ice shell casing, wanting to go back to his regular life. Waiting.
Finally. Yes.
Jack, what are you doing?
I broke free. I have an idea.
Jack watched the dwarves walk in line, followed one at a time, but clearly saw 9 make their way for the door. If you could somehow just find the one in possession of Jan's knife, you could hold off the others for sure. Jack may have been bigger, and he seemed to be quite older, but his body was weak from malnutrition and exposure. Closer Jack crawled to whisper his scheme, and something shined a flash, a singular gleam, hidden between the belt buckle and the waist of a lone dwarf who was slowly turning around, returning on his course.
When I count to three, we'll attack this little monster.
Mm-hmm.
Clobber his face with our fists until no longer. We suffer the slings and arrows of captivity. Follow my plan. This will work. You'll see.
Unsuspectingly sauntering by, no idea he was about to die, the dwarf continued to try and unknowingly live his last breath. The last moments of his miserable little life. As Joan kicked out the dwarf's legs, Jack gripped onto his face and the blade, and they both began warping the dwarf's face out of place. A small whimper crept from the neck of the dwarf. No respect given, no mercy, no remorse, because why would the children give to the fiends something the other children before had not seen? Why would tiny people expect to protect the children they took from their parents while they had slept? It almost like a sign from the hallways that wind around the core of the prison, make no mistake given, came a loud, bellowing cry. Terror and fear shook the boys quite clear, was a sound to all round that none would wish to hear. As if both enlightened with knowledge uninvited, a tightening felt in their chests, in their core. Of course they knew where the sound was from within. The she who the dwarves had taken them for. The one to which they would be given. Crawling on hands and knees, hoping to stay out of sight. It wasn't long before longer fingers gripped Jack's legs so tight. It felt as if his bone had just crumbled to ash. The beast dragged him out slowly and brought Jack face to face. The breath he could taste. The flesh reeked of vile, vile human and animal waste. And oh, how her teeth did gnash. Jack caught in paralysis, his body frozen. She grinned with glee and opened her mouth and sat his chin on the bottom row of teeth. Stretched her upper jaw over the nape of his spine and in one swift motion, she chewed on his mind. The beast staggered along, taking nips every few steps. A section of Jack's neck. And then a section of his chest, a portion of his stomach, and then she tossed away the rest. Locking eyes from the other side of the room, John knew his doom would come soon, no matter what he did do. She knelt a bit lower.
You know you'll never escape here.
And cracked the same wicked grin.
Oh, how I wonder what you'll taste like.
She laughed, and with a glide, she stumbled outside. John was in shock. Couldn't stand, no bother to walk. Stuttering out a single phrase, just to feel a little defiant.
That was a...
Yes, John. That, my little friend, was a real giant.
Wowzers.
Great. SoundCloud Gonzo, thank you very much for that part three. We greatly appreciate it. And Gene, let's kick you off with the comment. What'd you think?
Yeah, kick me off? I've been kicked off before. I thought this was haunting and very well done, you know, that he told in this series. Dark and wonderfully penned. And thanks so much for sharing that with us, Gonzo. Really a great job. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Thank you, Gene. Pam?
Yeah, that was just an amazing performance. I really like how well he does. I mean, on the background noise, sounds, the background music, the different changes of voices, you know, and this is such, mm-hmm. there's so many classic storytelling elements to this, you know, and it's, I like that it's dark, but it's the kind of darkness that you could picture, like even like hanging out with older kids and friends and family around the campfire and listening to, you know, roasting marshmallows close to Halloween. I like that it has that element of two boys like looking for adventure and finding more than what they expected. So really great storytelling and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, how about you?
I thought this was just riveting. The story just drew you in and carried you along, and I thought it was wonderful. And I hated to see it end. I wanted to find out what happened. I really enjoyed the performance.
Absolutely. The storytelling is great. The rhyming in here, in line, and the offset is really good. And it works in such a way that you could see this as a Tim Burton storyline done in two ways, either along mm-hmm. the veins of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow or along the vein of A Nightmare Before Christmas in the cartoon form, or the animation form.
Right.
Part four.
I don't know. I could
next week. Stay tuned. Same bat time, same Bill channel, 10 o'clock Friday.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I think that, now I can't think of the name of it. The barber. I'll think of it. 5 a.m. Has to come after I remember Pam's thing. Okay, here we go. We'll put the next piece up. This one's by Argo Wings. And let me hit that button.
Sanctuary. On nights when fear consumed me, and fleeing was all I knew of home, I'd hike the 4 miles to this bluff, and indulge in the safety loneliness bequeathed to me. Taking in an overcast sunrise, damp moss stained torn blue jeans with careless streaks of forest green. Spring rears her head again, and the remaining vestiges of Jack Frost's grip cling as ice, lining the muck at my feet. I curl the toes of waterlogged boots, finding pleasure in the satisfying crack I'm gifted. Often I lose myself here, hyperfixating on the fluidity of grass blades or the methodical advance of the dreary fog creeping through the tree line. Unable to recall a visit when it didn't wrap the ground in its heavy embrace, as if this place is cursed with shrouded gloom. Perhaps that's what draws me, time and again, this kinship of blight. The air feels thick today, a looming sense of foreboding prickling its way up my spine. Fingers itch for the handle of my forgotten machete, reaching instead for a small pocket knife tucked into my bootlaces. Minutes pass before it slams into me. My name. Uttered almost reverently, his voice coating my limbs in paralysis. I see the trees again, distant and out of focus, broom being ushered in to salute my dread like a grim omen. Egrets flying overhead, squall a low, beautiful lament, calling back the years spent evading his reach. An inferno seeps beneath my flesh, and I know one of us will die today.
Great read, Aldo. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And, Pam, kick us off.
Did you say my name?
On you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I thought this was wonderful. As always, she has a beautiful command of language. This was a wonderful tale. I hope this doesn't sound wrong when I say this, but because I mean it as a compliment. It reminds me a bit of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, like in that whole idea of that here is a simple girl just with the simple observations of life, and there's this idea of this gift, this warrior with inside herself being awakened. There's also this kind of sense of love lost, of a way of life lost, and the urge to I really like where the line about fingers itch for the handle of my forgotten machete, reaching instead for a small pocket knife tucked into my boots. Minutes pass before it slams into me, my name uttered almost reverently, his voice quoting my limbs in paralysis. Just amazing dark lines and very well done.
Well said, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was wonderful imagery. And she definitely was, there was a wonderful expression of emotions and thoughts. You know, you could sense the tension in the air and the hesitation in the words. And that was wonderful because it definitely brought that picture, that image to life in some way. You know, you're seeing the fog rolling in over the moor or the ground there. And I think that she really, I don't know, I think that her writing definitely suited that image. And it was dark and it was well done and it made you stop and think and, you know, makes you a little uneasy. And I think that was wonderful. So great job, Melissa.
Nicely said. Thank you, Jean. And Martha, how about you?
Well, I thought Pam nailed it when she said Buffy the Vampire Slayer because it totally brought to mind of someone weighted down with life and they try to escape to a place where they feel they can nurse the feelings inside them. And just as they start to give in to this thing speaks her name and she turns around and it's another thing she has to deal with. And I thought it was a wonderful representation. I just loved the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There is this was nicely dark, back-to-back dark and consuming, right? So this one a little more weighted in its tone and meaning. As this kind of hits at the notion of being left with a singularity and all family and everything else is gone. And there's that note of living a life that one might not be proud of, but trying to get outside of it by getting to this singular place where things seem to be a little bit more tempered. Alive without the thought of the ever-consuming angle of death and fear that comes along with it. But even that, in those nice sanctuary places, things can be returned to that which you are inside because of that which you have done. And that is that note in the last line of understanding they've been found. And with that finding, one of them will not be leaving this sanctuary walking. All right, Jane, we're coming back your way.
Okie doke. Well, before I move on to the next piece, we have another caller on the line, and I believe it's Passion's Promise. Passion's, is that you?
It's me. I am so loved when I'm. I am so liking it when I'm missed.
Okay, I didn't quite catch that, so I'm sorry.
I said I like it when I'm missed.
Ah, everybody's missed around here. That's where that happens.
Man, all I kept hearing was, "Where's Passion? Well, I'm here. I'll be there. I'm on my way. I'm trying."
Wow.
I'm
going to
stop and be there on Friday night just to spend it with y'all, okay?
Oh, well, I take that kind of personally. But that's okay. No biggie. It's all good.
What? Okay. I'm going to stop bingo just to be with y'all. I mean, that's a good thing.
Well, you know, yeah, we got a little bit on bingo. Not much, though. Our prizes aren't near as,
no.
You know, wonderful. Okay. Did you happen to hear Argo Wings piece that we just played?
I actually heard the last part of it, and I want to go back and read it at a later time, and because I was listening to the comments and everything. This is a very dark and inviting piece. I mean, I was like glued from where the mid part of it where I caught her reading, and I mean, she reads it with a flair. I mean, she's good, and I liked it for the fingers itch for the handle of my forgotten machete, reaching instead for a small pocket knife tucked in my boot laces. I can actually picture her doing this, you know. I mean, It was from what I can see from the last part of it, it was a beautiful write. And like I said, in Argot, I'm going to definitely bookmark this and read it after the show.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thanks for the comment.
All right, Eugene, we're back to you.
Okay. Well, I'll let him know. In the meantime, I'm going to put a piece up that we'll have another audio for Frank. So here we go. Okay. Now I got to find it. There it is.
I hear many sounds that fascinate me and perceive many sounds that horrify me, but I am haunted by the presence of my surreal existence within the absence of my truth, and I am the vivid air that governs me. Thus, I can hear the beating sound of my heart and the falling drops of water pouring from my bathtub onto the floor. If you must know, I possess an acute sense and a morbid delight that is wicked in nature, but so dominant in pleasure. Oh, I understand all the wonders of the mind and of the whole world that has made me conscious of one thing. I will continue to live or die, not knowing the true name of the demon that torments me. How can I rid myself of this uninvited guest when he no longer remains a stranger that is anonymous and quiet? Hush. I am breathing and whispering into my ears. Words that echo and manifest as my alter ego. I can sense his footsteps as he gradually approaches from the shadow of the drear gloom that encompasses me suddenly. The echo gets louder and louder in my mind. Oh, I am terrified by this dark thing that sleeps in me. Oh, I am bloody real. I am the worst nightmare racking your little brain in the voice you hear. In the
boat. Oh,
Lord. All right, Passion, you get first dibs. What do you think?
It scared the hell out of me. Sorry. I literally dropped the phone. This is...
Wow. He never ceases to amaze us. It's all true, though. This thing living inside of him. And his fearful little right here. If he must know, I possess an acute sense and a morbid delight that is wicked in nature, but so dominant in pleasure. Very great lines. I love it. I love this piece, but this is awesome. And then the ending just blew my mind. Wonderful read. Wonderful write.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Martha, how about you?
Well, to me, it brought back the same chill that I used to get when I was younger, and I'd watch a movie with my mom that was scary enough to give me nightmares, and I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful production. He did such a great job. When he started speaking, I felt that chill go over my whole body, and I was just riveted, just like I was by those scary movies when I was young. This was a wonderful right, and I totally enjoyed it. Like you said, it scared the hell out of me.
Thank you, Martha. Jean, how about you?
Oh, I think this is an excellent right. Very Jekyll and Hyde-ish, which totally matches up with the prompt, which is something. It scares the hell out of me what lives within or something. I don't know. Of course, I close it before I... commented. Let me find it, because I want to know what I said. It said, I am terrified by this dark thing that sleeps inside or in me. He an excellent Jekyll and Hyde type of right. And that's exactly what it was meant to be, from the prompt, as far as I can see. So excellent job, Frank. Well done. Nailed it.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
I think this is just a wonderful performance, just a haunting dark right. I like how Jean mentioned that it has a Jekyll and Hyde feel to it. I also thought, especially when it says, if you must know, I possess an acute sense and a morbid delight. There was something about that had a really real Edgar Allan Poe feel to it in those lines, because if I remember right, there was a Poe story that dealt with a character with acute senses. But the other thing that makes me think of, is that monster inside. It almost has a werewolf type feel to it to me. It seems as if there's this idea of that monster inside that comes forth, and the idea of the senses all being, extra alert with smell and eyesight and hearing. It really has just a great haunting feel to it of being scared of the monster within oneself. So very well done.
great comments, everybody. I'm going to go with the Jekyll and Hyde theme, but a very particular one that this one walks into very well. There are a bunch of scenes in the movie, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and the Dr. Jekyll and the Mr. Hyde character in that particular movie runs along these very same thoughts and angles that Frank has run through in this piece, and he's done it really well, brings out that character and how they argue back and forth in a mirror or just a note to the duality of each in the same body, in the same moment, without letting one or the other loose permanently, which is a really nice touch. Great job there, Frank. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay. Well, I believe that we have Naomi on the line. Is that you, Naomi? Okay. 111, who's calling, please?
Can you hear me?
Who is this?
Hi there, yes. This is Minkus. How are you all doing?
I'm sorry, who is it?
This is Minkus. How are you all doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. I don't recognize your name. Are you from All Poetry?
I'm sorry. I'm a long time listener of the show, and I just am first time caller.
Okay, are you with All Poetry?
I just had a question for you all. I want to know, have you ever fucked a fat white bitch?
Yeah, I knew there'd be a good one on that. I just knew it. Let's see. Let me see. I think I have Solid Cruise up next.
Comedy of a Turd.
Well, some people can't help themselves. Okay. I have the next piece up by Sawa. So let me get that one started.
I love poems. The turn of a beautiful rose, the lépine d'une belle rose. The heart of a man knows how to love. Then, at all cost, he will want to sparkle forever the blue skies of the memory, this beautiful rose, the thousand stars. He will climb the highest mountain to pick her tones one by one. He will never let her delicate petals wither away into the shadows. Si un cœur d'un homme fait aimer, il veut à tout prix que mille étoiles étincellent à jamais les cieux bleus de la mémoire de sa belle rose. Il escaladera les plus hautes montagnes pour cueillir ses épines une à une. Ne laissera jamais ses délicats pétales s'amortir au sein des ombres. End this poem.
Great read, Salwa. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Jean, you get to kick this one off.
I think this is lovely work by Sawa. It was soft and delicate words throughout. And that's just the way that Sawa writes. She just writes in such a way that the words are weightless. You know, they don't rest heavy on the soul. Like, you know, they're just uplifting. And it doesn't matter if it's a sad poem or a happy poem. They just have that kind of a feel to them. I don't know how else to express that. And I know I've said it before, but I really enjoyed the piece, and it's very well done, Sawa. Nice work.
Thank you, Jean. Martha, how about you?
I think this is a wonderful representation of the loss of someone that you truly love, and how determined you are to keep them alive inside you. And you're willing to climb that mountain of pain and loss, and no matter what the hurt it brings, because it keeps that person alive inside you, and their memory blooms in your heart, and you climb that mountain anytime just to keep them with you. But it was really beautiful.
Well, thank you very much, Martha. Pam?
This is a beautiful brevity, and I really like how Phil Holt mentioned that it's gentle in tone, which I agree. That Shawa has a gift for that, and Martha mentions that keeping somebody's memory. But the other thing I really like about this is how it says that it's about how when a man really loves a woman, how it's that he will see the gentle side of her, and he will be her protector, her sky, her mountain, and he will take away that which hurts her and protect that which is beautiful in her. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Passion, how about you?
Well, I feel there's a lot of beauty in this piece. If the heart of a man knows how to love, then at all costs he will want to sparkle forever. It's beautiful. I mean, he sets out to handle his lady delicately, and with every thorn, he protects her, the petals of her being, whatever her aches, her pains, whatever he tends to in all manners. It's a beautiful piece. I love this.
Great comments, everybody. I'm going to walk a little different line. This is kind of the thought of wanting someone with a full heart, because he has to understand and acknowledge those storms offer up not just the protection, but also the bitchy side at times. I must understand there'll be some scratches along the way. And in that understanding, then things will never die in the moment. Boy, I got off on track. I got way off track on that. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you. I lost my train of thought.
I derailed a long time ago, so I'm cool. I understand. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Martha Gettle. See? And I have an audio for that. Now I just have to make sure I play the right one. Okay. Got it. Stupidly in Love by Martha Gettle. I get a goofy look on my face. I'm always staring out in space. My thoughts chase each other all the time, but mostly it's just you on my mind. My mind is mixed up, to say the least, as on thoughts of you I constantly feast. I do a lot of stupid things, it's true, because, baby, I'm stupidly in love with you. Stupidly in love, stupidly in love. You are all my mind can think of. My thoughts chase each other all the time, but mostly it's just you on my mind. Baby, I'm not sitting on the fence. I love you beyond any sense. I don't get much done these days. I stumble around in love's rosy haze. Stupidly in love, stupidly in love. You are all my mind can think of. My thoughts chase each other all the time, but mostly it's just you on my mind. Love is not just a word anymore, not since you walked through my door. I swear my heart has learned to fly since you came into my life.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for the sound card. It is greatly appreciated. And Pam, you can kick us off, please.
I really enjoyed this one. You know, as always, you've got that down-home kind of country beat, Patsy Cline, Loretta Lynn, that kind of feel to it. I actually put this on my amazing rights list because, to me, out of all your songs, and there's been so many songs of yours that I really enjoyed, this one I'd really like to see put to music. It's smile-inducing. It's lighthearted. It's smile-inducing. I love the phrase, stupidly in love. You know, it's very relatable, that whole idea of when you get all gaga-eyed and googly-mind and, your brain turns to absolute mush because you're starry-eyed and in love. So just a delightful write and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. And Passion, how about you?
Well, Martha, this is just another beautiful song you've penned for your loved one. You can feel the love pour right from your heart. And I have to say, I loved it from beginning to end.
Thank you.
Thank you, Passion. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I have to say, Martha, you know, I thought it was very well done, and I loved the dedication. And I'm sure your fiancé enjoyed this one. Fun piece. Really nice work. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Mm-hmm. All right, Martha, hits me with that note of young love, first love. Is that a language you use, the goofy look on your face, and the stupidly angle that you ran through it was a nice touch, too. It hits on those little little things you catch yourself doing, and you can't just stop yourself anyway. So you still do. That way it all makes sense in the grand scheme of things. And we're coming back to you, Jean.
Okie dokie. Well, Rex, I'm coming back to you. If you don't mind.
Mother Ovens by Laurent Yvonne. Boulanger Martin, old hand knead and fold, sprinkling flour as needed, like a priest baptizing by aspersion, bringing to life loaves to accompany the fish. Sour smell hangs thickly in the yeast-heavy air of early morning, slap of dough yielding to a silent rising, thick bubbles propagating a sticky dough. Jacques pauses, wiping his brow sweat with a wrist, leaning on the old butcher block table, scarred by age and memory. Let you, he thought to himself, he and the table, victims of history's knife wounds, a German bullet lodged in one side, a threat against the grand père's refusal. Bake for the invaders who hungered for fresh bread, he refused and the shot was fired. No word spoken, retort ringing in his ears. Crackle of crust as baguette and boule were torn and plunged into café au lait, consumed by soldiers barely old enough to have reached their majority. He kept the bullet where it buried, a salve to his unwilling betrayal. A Hebrew feeding the enemy in exchange for life was no shame, yet he felt it, stinging sharply. A boy, 9, watching from the shadows, as his grand-père labored for the conqueror almost 80 years ago, an old memory revisited with each pain the campaign faced. Bread was life, and they let him live, departing towards the sound of guns, knapsacks bulging, braver with full stomachs, ready to die once more. He paused, reaching for flour, sprinkling with practiced gesture, easy as pulling a trigger, every bit as easy remembering what I baked in other ovens. And poem. Jean,
You got first mix.
Well, you know, I thought this was a very well-penned piece. Incredibly expressed thoughts throughout. And, you know, I mean, what a reveal at the end when the thought turns, you know. He lingers in this space of you know, baking bread and what have you. And then at the end when it says he paused, reaching for flour, sprinkling with practice gesture, easy as pulling a trigger, every bit as easy remembering what had baked in other ovens. What a, I don't know, it's, I don't know if you, a rude awakening or a, just a shocking turn of event, you know, in the poem itself. And I think that it really turns the thought elsewhere completely. You know, you're having this wonderful imagery and then it just turns. But it was very well done and tastefully done. And it brings us to that place where none of us should ever forget. But the people who lived it will never forget. So, bravo, Laurent. Excellent job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. And Passion, how about you? You got to unmute first.
Oh, yes, that was my fault. Sorry.
Passion, you there? Marshall, how about you?
I thought it was really good. It pulled you into the story and drew you along. Then that ending was a real killer. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, Martha. Pam?
Yeah, this is absolutely wonderful. You know, Lauren's always a talented poet, and I have seen it a great read of that, Rex. And I like how this brings us into, I'm guessing, World War II. And I have to agree with Phil, the way he executes this, by that turn of events, to where he first brings us into a family where one generation is learning from an older generation about baking, about working hard and spending time together as family, and then all of a sudden the turn of events, the mention of the bullet cap, the mention this is a 9-year-old boy who fears for his life, who fears for his family's life, and has been pushed into a realm of manhood far too quickly based on horrific circumstances. So brilliant right and very well done.
Great comments, gang. Passion, you back yet?
Yes, I'm back. Yeah. I had to go shut down the
Okay, did you
get no,
to hear
I didn't get to hear
that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
I do got to apologize on one thing. I read Pain the Campaign. That should have been Pain the Campaign, the sort of the bread itself, not pain. My apologies. Should have known better.
Mm.
Anyway, this paints a thought to, first off, the fact that one, even in the circumstance, is important enough in the moment because of the need to be spared. And the guilt that comes along with that, but also the knowledge that in some good way what his experience offers up is something that can be shared forward. And that's the idea, so it doesn't get lost or forgotten, because that last line holds heavy the impact. It's the memories he holds, they might be painful, but not nearly as painful as for those that never made it out because of that very last line offering up what had baked in other ovens, which is something that should be a nail biter of a conclusion that there's no shame in surviving when that is displayed by itself. All right, Jean, we're coming up. Back to you. I think we got time for at least one more.
Yeah, well, I got a few more left, but we're going to have to carry them over because I'm only so good. We're all, we can only be so quick. Pam, can I get you to read this next one for us?
That's a positive, absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. This is Midnight Serenade by Naomi Sarah, and it goes like this. Caressed by the velvety, bluish strings of the moon's serenading violin, sprinkled by a stream of starlight, swooning to the echoes of the swishing tide as it folds up in satiny layers along the seashell's pebbled shore, I sit silent with glistening dewdrops dancing on my toes, motionless, afraid to whisper as if my breath would push the choir of the night, this capella of stars far away upon the saltiness of the ocean waves. Perched on the edge of myself, I dangle from the line between me and the air all around, too cautious to slip into either fully, lest I break. The mesmerizing lure of the celestial lullaby, swaying to the twilight harmony, wanting to feel its tone on my skin, for its music to fill my veins and seep into my bones, to be forever entwined in the intoxicating surrender, awaiting the sweetness of the song of a nightingale, gentle upon a spring wind through the murmur of feathered grass, where curled up into the softness of a dragonfly wings, I dream and poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. And Ashton, why don't we start with you?
You know, not only is the picture beautiful, but the imagery in this piece is phenomenal. From beginning to end, caressed by the velvety bluish strings of the moon, serenading violin, sprinkled a stream of starlight, swooning to the echoes of the ocean sky. Beautiful. This is a beautiful, beautiful piece. I sit silent with glistening dewdrops. I mean, I can just go on and on with what lines I love out of this piece. It's a mesmerizing little dream, and I feel... Hold on a second. Of course, I love the curled up into the softness of dragonfly's wings. I dream. This is exceptional piece. Naomi, you did an exceptional job on this, and it was a wonderful read, Pam.
Thank you, Passion. And Martha, how about you?
I thought it was beautiful. It just started out so wonderful. The pictures that it brought to your mind, and it just kind of flowed along almost like a hymn or a song until the end, and I thought it was just gorgeous.
And Jean, how about you?
Oh, you know, I think that this is just a gorgeous piece. Wonderful imagery and just a gorgeous picture painted is what I thought. Not necessarily the same one you're looking at the top, but it definitely, Naomi, her imagery was really good in this. And, yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot. Thanks, Naomi. Absolutely.
And Dan, you got to read it. How about you?
This is absolutely stunning all the way through. I love the way she centered her lines. I really enjoyed the way this flowed and the imagery, and I like how it's about listening to that music of nature and being lulled into that calm space of sleep. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comments, everybody, and I'll agree with you on that. You got totally immersed in that scenery, and it kind of enveloped you, and then it embalmed you with it, within the warmth of that voice itself. So very nicely done, Naomi. And Jean, we're coming back to you for the back end of the piece of the show.
I hear you. There's like I have quite a few carryovers. Titus is one of them. Robert Polsky is another one, or Polesky. I'm not sure how to pronounce that correctly. Martha, you have another one on the board. One for Jack Tomkovic. I have one for Richard Weissman. One for Wichita Rick. And one for C. Francis Higgins. So they're all going to be carried till next Friday, and I want to thank everyone who called in and joined us and helped us read and get through the ones that we did. Thanks, everybody, for the audios. I'm sorry I just couldn't cram any more together into the show, and it's not really fair when we cram them in anyway. So I'm sure you feel better having a couple extra comments next week as opposed to running through everything this week. Everyone who can, 12:30, we have Part Sinner, Part Saint with Ephesiana and Babbler, and I hope everyone that can will join them and make it a fun night and, you know, enjoy the poetry. And, yeah, thanks everyone who shared with us. And Rex, thanks for co-hosting with me. Thank you, ladies, for joining in. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say, but it was a great night, and it was fun, and it was just great poetry. So thanks, everybody.
Fun.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Good night, Martha, yep. Sam Passions, and Jean.
Good night.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Enjoy
night, everybody.
Yourself, gang.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
You too.